Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I'm calling this edition the Post-Truth Tuesday edition. Post-truth. We've moved beyond truth. And I'll make that point in just a minute. I want to say hi to Evan. Appreciate him sticking it out. Feeling a little bit under the weather, but Evan has joined me next door. He's in the studio next door. So, Evan, you stay over there, and I'll stay over here, and we'll all stay healthy, and we'll do a little radio show. We'll talk about lots of big issues, and we're going to have a fine guest. He is Matt Flynn, attorney Matt Flynn, twice elected Democratic Party chair of the great state of Wisconsin. Matt Flynn, does his own show, Matt Flynn Direct, and he is direct. He's often direct. He plays out early mornings right here on Devil Radio. If you ever want to tune him in, try the Devil Radio app. We highly recommend it. But Matt Flynn's joining us in hour number two, Code Devlin, if you will. And then later in the big show, of course, Dominic joins in the happy hour. So lots of stuff to look forward to. Here are a couple of thoughts. We are in a post-truth society. And I mean specifically post-truth in regards to, like elections. The big lie. Here in the state of Wisconsin, we got some breaking news. Michael Gabelman, who is the special sauce prosecutor, and I'm going to give him a new moniker. I'm going to call him Michael Big Lie Gabelman, because the entirety of his existence is here to propagate the big lie. And he's doing so at the taxpayer expense in the state of Wisconsin. And the former president of the United States even pressured the Republican assembly leader, Speaker Robin Foss, and said, you better do it. You better extend this guy's contract. Because, he's already put out this interim report, sort of a hokey, let's roll back the Electoral College. And, of course, it's not predicated on fact. It's predicated on fiction. Sort of post-truth, if you will. So Gabelman, Michael Big Lie Gabelman, well, he remains the special prosecutor in the state of Wisconsin. And the former president's pressuring the Republican assembly leader, and he capitulated. He buckled, and he extended the contract of this aforementioned, Big Lie Gabelman. So that's the big news out of the state of Wisconsin. We will discuss that more at length in this big show, I suspect. But wanted to talk about the national post-truth big lie, and want to start with a guy named David Perdue out of the great state of Georgia. And David Perdue had a gubernatorial debate the other day. Now, David Perdue was a U.S. senator. He's the guy that lost in January of 2021, when Ossoff and Warnock won those seats, special elections. Well, he and Kelly Loeffler lost those seats, sort of unexpectedly. Georgia considered something of a red state. And I know it has been trending purple and more blue all the time. But the, perhaps the insertion of Donald Trump in the electoral politics, trying to relitigate the 2020 election, threatening the, Brad Raffensperger. And that became public immediately before this special election. But anyways, Perdue, newly defeated. Well, he's going to take another crack at the U.S. He was a U.S. senator. He's going to take another crack as a gubernatorial candidate. And in a debate the other night, here is the first words out of David Perdue's mouth. I'm going to quote him, and also an article here from the Washington Post, Eugene Robinson, opinion piece, But the quote, I'm pretty sure this is factual. First off, folks, let me be very clear tonight. The election in 2020 was rigged and stolen. First words out of the man's mouth, David Perdue. I mean, that's bold. As Eugene Robinson writes at the Post, that bald-faced lie was former Senator David Perdue's opening line Sunday at a primary debate against fellow Republican whose job he is trying to take, Governor Brian Kemp. The shocking thing about this falsehood is that nobody should be particularly shocked. It would have been more surprising if Perdue had told the truth. As Eugene Robinson writes, the GOP has made it clear that it intends to run a post-truth campaign in the November elections. No Republican who goes along with this abominable strategy, no Republican who doesn't publicly denounce it, deserves your vote. Not a single one of them. Eugene Robinson goes on to write, it is no exaggeration to say that the one-time party of Lincoln is doing what the one-time party of Lincoln is doing constitutes. See, I gotta just read it in the proper order. Is doing constitutes a dire threat to the very idea of democracy. A contest between liberal and conservative philosophies is healthy. An asymmetrical clash between one party grappling with nuanced reality and another party deliberately spewing paranoid fiction is dangerously corrosive to the fabric of the nation. Yeah, I agree. It is. We have moved into a post-truth nation, or at least that's where Republicans and their media outlets would like to take us, right? And we talk about this all the time. You know, let's lead with the truth. Let's try to find the truth. Let's seek the truth. But of course, the entire predicate of what? I mean, we've got gubernatorial candidates here in the state of Wisconsin. Their entire foundation for running is to relitigate the 2020 election. Yeah, I mean, you ram jam. And obviously, David Perdue has taken a similar tact in the state of Georgia. Well, ultimately, the truth, you'd like to think the truth would bear out. You'd like to think eventually we'll get to that point where the truth matters. But I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced that we're there yet. Greg Sargent, also at the Washington Post, a similar conversation about the very same sycophant. A leading Trump sycophant may soon get the humiliation he deserves. Well, I'm going to throw this out there as well. Still talking about David Perdue. When the history of Donald Trump era is written, a special place in the whole saga should be reserved for David Perdue. The former senator has debased himself on Trump's behalf perhaps more thoroughly than anyone alive in his quest to defeat Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia in a Republican primary. Yet he may be on track for a humiliating loss. Well, that's a nice thought, isn't it? That the voters of Georgia would actually reject this big lie? We'll see. Back to the article. A new poll from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution shows Perdue trailing Kemp by an astonishing 53-27% amongst likely voters in next month's GOP primary. If Kemp clears 50%, he will win outright. No runoff, which would be a stunning downfall for Perdue, given the fact he's endorsed by Donald Trump. Well, let's see if the Trump endorsement's got any weight anymore. Analysts are already describing this as evidence of Trump's waning influence over GOP voters. But something bigger is at stake. A decisive Kemp win would show that Republican officials can't abide by the integrity of election losses and live to tell the tale. That is, without immediately seeing their careers implode in the next GOP primary. That's what Trump's trying to do, right? What was Kemp's crime? I mean, he's trying to suppress the votes like so many other Republicans do. You know, he's on the right side of Trump history in that regard. But what exactly is Kemp's crime? Well, the crime of Brian Kemp is what? He wouldn't go along with the overturning of the Electoral College vote in Georgia. Wouldn't find a justification, find a means. So anyways, back to Perdue. Perdue has built his entire primary challenge to Kemp around the idea that in some vague sense, Kemp betrayed Republican voters by rebuffing Trump's pressure to help steal the 2020 election. Trump endorsed Perdue for the explicit purpose of ousting Kemp as payback for that heresy. Fortunately, that may be failing. The Journal Constitutional poll found that a majority of GOP primary voters say Trump's endorsement won't impact their choice or make them less likely to back a candidate. And many GOP primary candidates are running on Trump's lies about our elections, of course, but there's something uniquely repulsive and corrupt about Perdue's rendition, which is why making an example of it is so crucial. So I think Greg Sargent's saying here, you know, it'd be nice to see Perdue go down in flames. First, Perdue has made this forward-looking. News reports regularly say Republicans are running on Trump's big lie. But that suggests they are merely relitigating his lost of the twisted loyalty to him. It's worse. Some candidates are running on the implicit vow to do what it takes to subvert future losses. Did you catch all that? The post-truth world we live in, it's not about this election. Well, in some ways it is. It's energizing to the base, right? But it's definitely about the next election, the future elections. And Perdue is a prime example. He has said that as governor, he wouldn't have certified Trump's 2020 loss. That's an implicit promise to use his power as governor in a way that Kemp would not, to prevent a legitimate GOP loss from becoming official. And Perdue recently telegraphed this again at a GOP primary debate this week. Perdue flatly declared that Kemp had caved and allowed radical Democrats to steal our election, and told GOP voters that if they are upset and angry about Democratic control, Kemp's to blame for it. In other words, Perdue will not allow Democrats to win elections. It will justify this with invented claims of fraud in a way that Kemp refused to do. Let's state this plainly. This is central to Perdue's case for why the GOP primary voters should pick him as governor. And one cannot know for certain whether Perdue would actually use his power as governor to refuse to certify a legitimate Democratic winner of the 2024 election. But why not take him at his word? So anyways, there's more to this article, more opinion. But he's got to lose. And there's a lot of them that need to lose. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. When you listen, you're never a loser, only a winner.
Truth! You can't handle the truth!
I always want to tell the truth. When I can, I tell the truth.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a post-truth Tuesday edition. Got a fine guest joining me in the next hour. He is Matt Flynn, Matt Flynn Direct. I guess that's the name of his fine show. Also, Dominic joining me in the Happier Happy Hour. And on tomorrow's big program, we've done some booking. You'll be very proud of us. Former U.S. Senator Al Franken in the 3 o'clock hour on Wednesday. And then in the 4 o'clock hour, new Marquette University Law School polling. Pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin joins me on the big show in the 4 o'clock hour tomorrow. Please make a note of it. But let's get back to the post-truth. And oh yeah, if you want to shout at the Devils, 844-967-2789. I've got Evan right here in Madison, a little sicker, but apparently none the worse for wear. I appreciate you coming into work, big guy. You got to fill in Fancy Brian's very large shoes. I mean, the dude's like size 16. Those are some big shoes. But anyways, Evan will be lightly screening your calls all day at 844-967-2789. I want to come back to the post-truth candidate in the state of Georgia. And we're going to talk about a few other candidates, but going to go back to David Perdue. And it puts me in this weird position, because I'm not exactly sure that we're rooting for Brian Kemp, if you know what I'm saying. But if we're looking at the GOP primary in the state of Georgia, maybe trying to read the tea leaves, it would be encouraging to see Brian Kemp beat David Perdue. It would imply that you can still be a Republican of conscience in this nation. And currently, the polling, according to the Atlanta Constitution, favors Kemp. Kemp is the incumbent. Kemp's been the governor for a long time down there. And Kemp, of course, is going to have his own problems in the general election, I'd like to think. He will, you know, go again against the contender, Stacey Abrams. But first, he's got to win the primary. And first, he's got to beat off the Trump-endorsed David Perdue. So anyways, back to the opinion piece here of Greg Sargent at the Washington Post. Remember, as long as the Electoral Count Act of 1887 remains unreformed, if a GOP governor in a state set to decide the election certifies sham electors for a losing Republican candidate and the GOP-controlled House of Representatives counts those electors, they stand. Can you see how that would have played out in 2020, let's say? Let's say the Republicans controlled the House of Representatives. And numerically, they kind of did. State by state, if you count the number of Republican-controlled states, there's more of them, both on a state legislative level and on a congressional state-by-state level. They control more congressional caucuses. So anyways, back to the piece here. That's why it's important that a bipartisan group of senators is meeting this week to discuss the Electoral Count Act reforms. Let's hope those include built-in safeguards against governors and state legislators from certifying sham electors. That was the plan right here in the great state of Wisconsin. You know, they fraudulently just said, well, Trump won. Here's our slate of electors. And there were a number of people that signed off on this, all of them Republican officials, including a Wisconsin elections commissioner, Bob Spindell, his name. But we'll talk more about Bob later. Greg Sargent writes, but beyond structural reform, our democracy will also depend on elections officials performing their roles with integrity at a time when pressure to corrupt election outcomes might only be increasing. And so, even if that stolen election scenario is improbable, it will have value if a candidate running on an implicit vow to execute that scenario goes down to defeat. It could mean GOP voters aren't swayed by the argument that they should elect the governor for the express purpose of subverting future elections. That's the forward-looking David Perdue. I'll subvert the next election. That's the promise I make to you, the voters. A little bit more here. We shouldn't be overly sanguine about the meaning of Perdue's loss. Kemp did sign an onerous voter suppression law, and such measures are being implemented by GOP legislatures across the country. What's more, many GOP candidates are running on a willingness to corrupt elections in a similar manner, including candidates for governor in swing states such as Pennsylvania, Michigan, and wait for it, Wisconsin. And GOP primary voters might pick them. So even if Perdue loses, a 2024 sham elector scheme will remain a live possibility, if an unlikely one. Still, a big loss for Perdue would be welcome. Is there any candidacy quite like his? Remarkably, the basis for Perdue's challenge is that Kemp performed his official duty with integrity. How dare he! Despite facing some of the most intense pressure in the country from Trump and the MAGA movement to corrupt himself in our elections on Trump's behalf. Here's the conclusion, folks. If Perdue is wagering that GOP voters' angst over losing in 2020 will make them ripe marks, he hopes to exploit the raw emotions that always grip voters of the out-of-power party to portray the act of upholding the integrity of a loss amid extremely difficult conditions as a betrayal. This reprobate can't lose by enough. So writes Greg Sargent at the Washington Post of, I guess he's gubernatorial candidate now, David Perdue. Former senator, hopefully former gubernatorial candidate soon. But anyways, we'll take your calls. Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's a post-truth Tuesday. And it's not just the state of Georgia. The contract of the super duper cyber ninja auditor sort of guy here in the state of Wisconsin, the partisan special prosecutor, I call him Michael Big Lie Gableman. Well, we've renewed the contract. And when I say we, I mean the former Republican establishment, the guy that's the Speaker of the Assembly, the most powerful Republican in the state of Wisconsin, has fully capitulated to the wishes of Donald Trump. Trump said, you better do it. And Voss said, okay, whatever you want, Cheeto Messiah. So anyways, come back with us. Shout at the Devils, 844-967-2789, taking your Tuesday's calls. But they better be truthful, or, you know, I'm dumping your ass. Looking at you, CJ. Come back, 844-96-PARTY. It is a political party up in here.
I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one
stop
more.
Nice and slow.
One, two.
Then speed up more.
One, two, three, four.
Then stomp away.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. Got Matt Flynn joining me in hour two, Dominic joining me in the happy hour, hour three. And you can always join us. Dial us 844-967-2789. A post-truth Tuesday edition. And we talked about the primary going on for the gubernatorial race in Georgia. David Perdue, he ain't even faking it. His whole plan is, I'll subvert the next election. I'm all down for, you know, giving the next election to whoever I think wins. And that's justification to vote for me. Well, I told you, Greg Sargent and others are kind of rooting against that sentiment. That little fascist sentiment that's being expressed by David Perdue. But we got our own little fascists here in the state of Wisconsin. Used to call him Boss Voss. Assembly Speaker, Republican, of course. And, you know, he's like a tick on a dog. This guy is so gerrymandered into this position. He effectively, you know, as long as he doesn't get primaried, this guy could effectively be the Speaker of the Assembly forever, or at least another decade. But got hooked up with sort of a bad crowd. Got on a private flight down to Alabama like a year ago now and told the former president, Donald Trump, you know, under a little pressure, I got to think, a little coercion, because that's how Trump likes to play it. Brought Robin Voss down there and said, Robin, I need you to go do something about, you know, the election. And doesn't acknowledge, Trump still doesn't acknowledge he might have lost that election here in the state of Wisconsin, you know, like 21,000 votes to margin. And we had recounts and we had audits. And hell, we even had conservative law firms, sort of the voice of the conservative movement, said no fraud here in the state of Wisconsin. And we had the nonpartisan legislative audit bureau say no fraud here in the state of Wisconsin, at least not on any sort of significant level. But we've still had an election investigation going on for months. I mean, it was supposed to be wrapped up into last year, like October. Initially, it was only scheduled to go through like October. And then it was year end. And then it was, Christ, March. And then it was April. And the newest news is the former president has pressured Speaker Robin Voss into capitulating, which he gladly did, because most Republicans are capitulators. And he has extended the contract of Gableman. And Gableman, you know, because he's really in it, not so much for the grift, if you believe him. You know, he said, well, you can cut my salary. Well, a judge said, you know, there's a little proof they're doing any investigating anyways. So if he gets paid a little less to, you know, investigate a little less than zero, well, all the better. Because this is all about the pursuit of partisan ends. Let me read a little of the reporting at the Journal Sentinel. Molly Beck, the fine journalist. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is extending just what the people wanted, extending the taxpayer-funded contract of the former corrupted Supreme Court justice leading review of the 2020 election. Corrupted's my version. A decision announced a day after former President Donald Trump sought to intimidate Voss by threatening a successful primary challenge if the review did not continue. So how's that feel? Negotiating with terrorists, Robin Voss. The former president effectively being a terrorist to the Republican speaker. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. A little bit more here from Molly Beck's reporting. In a statement Monday that did not name Voss directly, Trump suggested in a statement to his millions of supporters that the Rochester Republican will see a successful primary opponent if he does not extend former Supreme Court Justice corrupted Michael Big Lie Gableman's contract with the state assembly. Here's what Trump said.
Anyone calling themselves a Republican in Wisconsin should support the continued investigation in Wisconsin without interference.
He went on to say, Trump that is,
I understand some rhinos have primary challengers in Wisconsin. I'm sure their primary opponents would get a huge bump in the polls if these rhinos interfere.
Trump said, using an acronym, if you're unfamiliar, Republicans, and name only. Some would say that about Trump, but, you know, now they've sort of turned the entire party into the party of Trump. A little bit more from Beck's reporting. On Tuesday, Voss issued a statement announcing Gableman's office will remain open as we guarantee the legal power of our legislative subpoenas and get through the other lawsuits that have gridlocked this investigation. Really? But let me read on. We are grateful for corrupted Justice Gableman's offer to reduce his salary. Oh, is that what it's about? It was saving the taxpayers money. We are grateful for his offer to reduce his salary as we are all concerned about the judicious use of taxpayer dollars. No, you weren't. You never were. This has all been a witch hunt on the taxpayer dollars. A purely partisan endeavor. A little bit more. Our intention is to remain within the original budget allocated for the investigation. Well, you allocated $700,000 to investigate voter fraud, which you've offered and your investigator has offered absolutely no evidence of. Shouldn't there be a work product here for $700,000? Should we see some evidence and not just an interim report of speculation and bad mathematical analytical calculation? Let me read on. Voss hired Gableman to look into the last presidential election last June. It's almost been a year, folks. Hours after Trump blasted a statement to his supporters criticizing Voss and other Republican legislative leaders for not doing more to litigate his 2020 election loss. So a year ago, Trump took aim at Voss. And Voss said, hell, sure, man, we got like almost $1 million from the taxpayers to go hire this corrupted former Supreme Court justice who already came out and said it was rigged. I mean, Gableman came out basically on day one and already demonstrated he had a preconceived notion of the outcome. It was rigged. That was his notion. And Gableman has so embraced this big lie, this post-truth. It has become a laughable circumstance for the state of Wisconsin. And I'd be laughing at it if I wasn't living it. I mean, 60 Minutes has done an expose on this guy, Gableman. Michael Big Lie Gableman. Voss gave Gableman a $676,000 taxpayer-funded budget, which includes an $11,000 monthly salary. Since the review launched, Gableman has missed multiple deadlines to issue a final report. I mean, he's so good at this job. Now, Gableman has issued dozens of wide-ranging subpoenas and asked a judge to jail elections officials. Did you catch all that? Asked a judge to jail election officials, mayors, and others who he claims are cooperating with him. They're not playing nice with me. They're not coming down to my secret interrogations down at the liposuction clinic in Brookfield. Throw their asses in jail. And then, of course, he ran off to Waukesha County to try and find a friendly judge to throw their asses in jail. A little bit more. The targets of his subpoenas have said they are following the law and asked the judge to find Gableman must interview them in public. That seems like a fair request. Let's do this in public. Let's do this in the assembly chambers, not behind closed doors as Gableman wants. Waukesha County Circuit Judge Ralph Ramirez has set a hearing for the case in July, but that court fight and others could continue beyond then. If Gableman were to succeed in court, he likely would have weeks or months of work to do as he conducts depositions. In recent weeks, Gableman appeared on former White House advisor Steve Bannon's podcast because he's also pressuring Voss, right? He's personally pressuring Voss on the Steve Bannon podcast to extend his taxpayer-funded $11,000, you know, just his personal payment, $11,000 a month witch hunt. A Brookfield office in Gableman, listed in Gableman's lease, appears to have been cleared of at least some appliances, supplies and furniture as of Tuesday morning. But it's unknown whether Gableman is still working in a taxpayer-funded office. Aides DeVos have not answered repeated questions from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this month when the taxpayer-funded payments to Gableman will cease. And what about the Assembly Elections Commission? Let me restate. What is her title? Janelle Branchon, a Republican from Menominee Falls. Here's her title. She oversees the Assembly Committee on Campaigns and Elections here in the great state of Wisconsin. Now, she is also a post-truther. She is also a fringer, and she also has the gavel. She has the power of the committee. She is the committee chairman. And here's what she says. If Speaker Voss shuts down the Office of Special Counsel's investigation now, not only will he be condoning cheating, he'll be legalizing it. Well, that seems a leap, Janelle. That seems quite a leap. Let me read that once again, just in case you didn't hear it clearly. If Speaker Voss shuts down the Office of Special Counsel investigation now, not only will he be condoning cheating, he'll be legalizing it, Branchon said. Has anybody ever heard of evidence? Can anybody demonstrate any evidence to support any of the allegations that Gableman has made to date? And if not, why are we extending the man's contract? Because the former president is pressuring the Wisconsin Assembly Speaker? I mean, don't we have a Republican Party? Can't you collectively stand up to this man and do the right thing by the voters, by the taxpayers? A little bit more. The committee's vice chairman, Republican Joe Sanfilippo, he's appeared on the show, of New Berlin, said he and Branchon have different views on what election matters the legislature should be targeting. Here, according to Sanfilippo, and the paper is a quote, Branchon has been focused on Gableman's review and looking at the past. And to me, I'm not happy with what happened in the past, but the past is the past. I'm not looking in the rearview mirror anymore, said Sanfilippo, who is retiring. And it's not like he's a square guy and he's just getting out because, you know, all the kooker fringers are bothering him. It's because they're not doing enough to change the outcome of the next election to satisfy my former guest a couple of times, Joe Sanfilippo. A little bit more of a quote from him. I'm looking forward to make sure that in future elections, we don't have situations arise that lead people having concerns and not having confidence in the election. And on whether Gableman's review should continue, Sanfilippo, who's not running for re-election this fall, says, he doesn't know. Without me being in contact with Gableman and knowing further about what he wants to continue looking at, I can't really say. I wish the legislature would be focusing more on the Legislative Audit Bureau's audit and taking steps to do corrections based off that audit. Like I said, the past is the past. I mean, we can't keep rehashing the same old thing over and over. And I can't believe I'm agreeing with the sentiment of Joe Sanfilippo, but yet here we are. The investigations have been extended. This will continue well into what, the summer primary season? Hell, I bet it extends all the way to election day. You want to take odds? You want to take my action? I bet I'm right. 844-967-2789. So Trump turns up the heat. And Robin Voss folds like a cheap suit. Whatever you want, Mr. Trump, I'm here at your service. Now, he is being primaried. Robin Voss is specifically being primaried in the state of Wisconsin. A guy named Adam Steen. And it was just yesterday that, what, Trump turned up the heat a little bit? Actually, someone turned up the heat in here. I'm going to turn it down during the break. But here is what Trump said to Voss. Again, this Wisconsin Republican leader.
I understand some writers have primary challengers in Wisconsin. I'm not sure their primary opponents,
or I am sure Trump is.
Their primary opponents will get a huge bump into polls if these rhinos interfere
mean interfere with failing to extend the partisan cyber ninja, cyber audit forensic investigation going on here in the state of Wisconsin? I mean, it sounds ridiculous. I know they don't call it that. They call it the Office of Special Counsel. Seems more important somehow. Certainly, apparently, it pays better. 11 grand a month. I need to make me some Gableman money. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. We'll take a couple ads. And a couple of your phone calls when we return. 844-967-2789.
It's funny how a big lie can make us all kids again.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. A little more conversation, a little less action. I think it's supposed to go the other way around. Your conversational contributions, usually welcomed at 844-967-2789. Evan will screen your calls lightly. But I wanted to talk about the big lie, the post-trutherism of the Republican Party. And I'm going to look outside the state of Wisconsin borders to our neighbor in Michigan. And there's some troubling news out of Michigan. I'm going to start with a little Elvis Presley story. In the 1950s, it was Elvis Presley that parents and religious leaders claimed were leading the nation's children to Satan. He gyrated his hips to savage rhythms and played the devil's music. Now only conservatives are trotting out the same tired accusations, but only targeting women. Here is what Rolling Stone magazine is reporting. They're citing a podcast from Media Matters about the Michigan Republican candidate for Secretary of State. Her name is Christina Caramo, K-A-R-A-M-O. Caramo. She is the GOP endorsed candidate for Secretary of State in Michigan. Now think elections administrator. And Ms. Caramo is connected to QAnon and has some more personal bizarre opinions. In August of 2020, Caramo explained that Ariana Grande and Billie Eilish were putting children under a satanic delusion. 3 years ago at the MTV Video Music Awards, Grande performed a version of God is a Woman with women reenacting the Leonardo da Vinci painting of The Last Supper. A panel of women sat at the table holding hands as Grande sang, "Baby, lay me down and let's pray." Caramo called it nothing more than a lesbian orgy. I didn't see it quite that badly, but, you know, whatever. I'm not a huge Ariana fan, but I read on. In Billie Eilish's video for the song Good Girls Go to Hell, the singer sprouts wings from her back and appears to fall from the sky into a vat of black tar substance. Her lyrics include the idea that St. Peter is on vacation from the pearly gates. She goes on to sing, "All the good girls go to hell, because even God herself has enemies, and once the water starts to rise and heaven's out of sight, she'll want the devil on her team." The song is her nod to the belief that moral acts are futile because in the end she believes they will all fail, wrote the pop song professor. In the same podcast, Caramo named Beyonce for her working overtime to pull more and more black Americans into paganism and calling it American spirituality. So the GOP-endorsed Secretary of State candidate in Michigan thinks that paganism is the same as I think she thinks it's Satanism. Let me read on. Many conspiracy theories involving Beyonce falsely claim she's some kind of Illuminati cult leader. Paganism is apparently close to Satanism, Caramo believes, mixing it up with the worship of Satan. Either way, she believes JC is a Satanist, but acknowledges there is no hard proof. What would the hard proof be? A little bit more. Then she went off on Cardi B as a tool of Lucifer, presumably the biblical fallen angel and not the television show. Cardi B wrote the song WAP. And I know what that means, but I'm not going to say it on the radio. WAP which Caramel believes is very obscene. It is. It is part of the filth and sexual degeneracy in our culture. She might have a point there. She then goes off on a rant about people doing yoga is actually practicing a satanic ritual. Yoga is a satanic ritual, according to the GOP-endorsed Secretary of State candidate, great state of Michigan. Caramo is also a believer in the idea that the January 6th attacks on the U.S. Capitol were actually left-wing activists. You know, Antifa. I wonder if she got that notion from Marjorie Taylor Greene. That spread pretty quickly. You know, when it was convenient for them to point at, you know, someone other than their own supporters, well, it was Antifa. Do you kind of see what we're working with here, folks? I mean, I'd like to reach across the aisle and shake hands with the reasonable Republican Party, but most of that reasonable Republican Party no longer exists. I mean, you're really down to anti-Trumpers, and there are a few, the Lincoln Project sorts, and a few that have sort of left the party or feel like the party left them behind. But the vast majority of the Republicans, including those listening to the sound of my voice right now, you believe the big lie. You're all down for the big lie. You can't wait. Give me more of the big lie. And you think, oh, it was stolen. It was rigged. No, it wasn't. You know, when you get to a certain age, you stop believing in the fairy tales. But you never stop believing. You know, you think just because your team lost, well, it can't be so. My team's better. My team's always better. And if they didn't win, if Donald Trump didn't win, well, it must have been stolen from him. Because I could never pick a losing pony. I could never be on the wrong side of history, right? That's what you're thinking. That's what you're telling yourselves right now. No, Crudy, he's all wrong. Once again, this libtard, what's he know? He's a Marxist revolutionary. Probably voted for Bernie, which I did. I voted for Bernie. But at the end of the day, I don't care if you voted for Donald Trump. Your pony lost. The guy lost the election. Come join us in reality world. Come join us now. It's safe. It's okay to admit that Donald Trump didn't win the last election. It's okay to try harder. Better ideas, better candidates. Right, Robin Voss? It's okay to try and win the next election. Hell, man, the deck's stacked for you. Republicans, you got a lot better than average shot. It's a lot more than a coin flip here in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, you've got your legislative maps. You got your gerrymander for the next 10 years. Hell, man, it is more likely in the great state of Wisconsin that we will see a Republican legislative supermajority, you know, the sort that could veto or overturn a Democratic governor's veto. It is far more likely we are going to see that sort of majority from these new maps than an actual 50-50 in what is considered a pretty purple state. You know, statewide elections here in the state of Wisconsin, you know, we've seen them go from like 5,000, 5,500 last Supreme Court justice to win. Well, I shouldn't say that. The one we talk about a lot, Hagedorn, won his seat by 5,600 votes. Tony Evers, the governor that's on the ballot again this fall, 31,000 votes. Donald Trump, well, he won by 21,000 votes back in 16, and then he lost by about the same margin. And you know, something interesting, my fine friend, Charles Franklin, coming on the show tomorrow, and he's going to ask the question, and he already knows the answer. He polled. If you didn't trust the 2020 elections, did you trust the April elections in the state of Wisconsin? Did you? I mean, really? Did you trust the local elections, the mayoral race? Did you trust those elections? It'll be very interesting to find out what he has to say tomorrow on the big show. Come back, hour two of this big show. Matt Flynn, Matt Flynn Direct, attorney at law, friend of the devil, is next.